And now, Spirit Gum, the greatest name in chewing delight, brings you 77 Chevy Chase Parkway, starring Ephraim Knucklehead Jr. as Mike Hatchett, Privateer.
Yeah, Mike Hatchett, that's my name. What a drag. 77 Chevy Chase Parkway, country club, high rent district, excitement, babes. At 3 o'clock in the morning when I returned home, I never will forget that morning. It was like it was yesterday. Hard to believe as I walked upstairs to the apartment. I was kind of dog-tired because it was 3 a.m. in the morning. I didn't know exactly why I'd stayed out so late. I fumbled my keys. I did the best I could. I put them in the latch and opened the door, and all of a sudden, man, oh man, did I see her. Wow. He was blonde, all right. He was blue-eyed, and she was beautiful. She sat there with one shoe off, and she sat on my sofa, looked up at me with those baby blue eyes, and said,
"Hi, Mike."
"Yeah. Hi, baby."
"A little late coming home, aren't you, Mike?"
"Yeah, well, I mean, that's my business. What brings you to my pad, Dad?"
"I gotta see you. It's urgent."
"Is it business or pleasure?"
"Maybe a little of both."
"Shut the door, baby."
"It is."
"You sit out here and tell Mike you know exactly what you need."
"But it's my husband, Mike."
"Yeah."
"Well, it's no laughs anymore, Mike. Every night's the same thing. He comes home from work, 7:05, he turns on the radio and listens to the Joy Boys show."
"He listens to what?"
"The Joy Boys at 7:05 every night."
"On radio?"
"Yeah."
"What time is it?"
7:05. "Mike, what are you doing?"
"Kid, you just reminded me about the one thing in life that's dear and near to me. I mean, working this Chevy Chase beat out here is bad enough, but at least I get some pleasure at 7:05 when I hear these guys. They really laugh."
"That's right."
"Yeah.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Well,
it's time for the Joy Boys show for Monday. Couldn't get out of character there. This is Ed Walker here.
Yeah.
You're not out of character either.
Hello out there. We're all characters out of a book, but none of us are out of character. The mystery man is running the tables tonight. In other words, he's the pit man. And behind him stands our lofty sound effects engineer, who is without a doubt America's number one choice for slapper Bobby Shenton, our Chinese engineer. And over...
still has that cough problem there.
How about I'm here, too.
Arthur Page is back from my wonderful one-day vacation.
Yeah, at the dentist.
He went up to Sugarloaf and climbed with the goats. Had a wonderful time. Coming up on our show this evening is a very exciting show. We are going to interview the very famous Russian movie actress, Yulianova Novocaine, who is appearing in the wonderful new Russian film in the latest culture exchange, How Red Was My Comrade. And we will talk to her later on in the evening. Oh, that sounds like laughs. Coming up also will be Sammy Skin, who's going to preview an inaugural ball for us.
Good. And Arthur Codfish, too, I do believe.
Huh? Do we have an award, Edward?
I think you have it right there in front of you.
Yes, sir. All the jet pilots at Andrews Air Force Base have just voted you and me the two biggest flameouts in radio.
Hey, check your afterburner, gang. Here we go.
Do something.
There you go. That's a plenty done for you by Glenn Gray and the orchestra, starting us off here on the Joy Boys. In the door comes Sammy Skin. I see he's bringing his drums with him. And he looks very nicely decked out this evening, Willard.
Sammy, you've got your white tie and tails on there. You look like $1 million.
Yes, I had the heart to rent the...
Oh, I was going to say, just on the tip of my tongue to say, Sammy, you look so dignified, I didn't even think you were going to drop your cymbal.
And I had a slippery cymbal here. That's the way it goes, you know.
Sammy, come on over here to the microphone and sit down for a second.
All right.
Awfully good to see you. We've had a really rushed holiday season, and I think things are beginning to get back to normal again. But you, by golly, look like you're all set for the inaugural, right?
I am. I'm performing at the inaugural ball, and I'm going to be giving out some of my best drum solos there.
You are going to play for the inaugural. Will you be obligato, or will you be accompanied by...
We're going to have a little bit of community singing, and I'll be supplying the accompaniment.
All right.
I'd like to give you a sneak preview, or I should say a sneaky preview, this evening, all right?
Well, I think that's wonderful, Sammy. So here's our own WRC staff drummer, Sammy Skin, who will be appearing at one of the inaugural balls. I imagine you'll tell us after he plays.
Hey.
Here's a medley of old favorites Sammy will be featuring when he performs on
here
the Friday night.
Here we go. One, two, three. You gotta have heart. All you really need is heart. When the odds are never with you, just remember that you gotta have heart. And I gotta learn the words.
Here you are, Sammy, over here. I just found him.
You gotta have hope.
This is the cafeteria menu for today.
All you really need is hope. Don't you sit around and mope like a dope. All you really need is hope.
If
you
don't, I've never heard it played.
You don't remember? Make up your own. Here's another one. When you're down and out, lift up your head and shout. There's going to be a great day. And here's another one. Maybe you'll remember this part of a song here. Next year, something's bound to happen. Next year, next year.
Hold it, wait a minute. Sammy.
Yes.
I'm
a little nervous about the whole thing. I don't remember the lyrics.
You've been on this show now for almost a year, and I have never corrected you. Have I ever offered you...
Not too much, no.
I've never offered you any criticisms. May I offer you one, Sammy?
Why, I guess so.
I mean, you're going to appear at this wonderful inaugural for the new president of the United States, and you're going to play for these wonderful people who won the election. Why are you playing all these negative...
No, you got me all wrong. I'm playing for the losers.
What do you mean?
Well, we're having a little party, too, in the vestibule of the place over there, and so I'm going to play songs of hope for the next coming up.
You're playing for the party that lost?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
You're going to have an inaugural ball for them?
Well, they can't afford a big band or anything, so I'm just going to, you know, we're going to sing and...
Bobby, play some music in there.
Hey, that's Doris Day, and it's called Wonderful Guy, music from South Pacific.
Excuse me, Eddie. Hmm? Don't let this get around too much. I mean, everybody in town will want one.
Oh,
well, we have a commercial.
Good.
Wherever you go, you see Dodge cars. Mister, you're living in Dodge City. They're headed up and down the avenue. On streets and byways, Dodge is the big news. They're the hottest cars in the USA. Polaris, Darts, and Lancers. Hey, mister, you're living in Dodge City.
Yes, sir. This here town is now Dodge City. Be sure to see him. Falls Church, Virginia. Falls Church Motor Company, 554 North Washington. Bill Stemenuck, the boy to see.
Hey,
thank you, Bill. In Bethesda, Maryland, Diver Motor Company at 7730 Georgetown Road. Paul Diver is the man over there.
I'll blast your head right off your cotton picking shoulder.
Thank you, Paul. Mister, you're living in Dodge City.
Ladies and gentlemen, a radio first for WRC. We are going to chat with the famous Russian actress Yulonova Novocaine, who is appearing in the brand new cultural exchange film How Red Was My Comrade, soon to be appearing at the beautiful Down Uptown Up Theater. So we're going to talk right now with Miss Novocaine, who unfortunately speaks, not unfortunately, I'm sorry, I hope I didn't. Who speak, please, gentlemen of the press, would you hold it down there? The Mrs. Novocaine speaks no English. She speaks only Russian. We have a translator here, and I'm sorry at this last minute. We were very unfortunate in the fact that we didn't have a chance to get one translator. We have a gentleman who's going to translate from Russian to German. This is Frederick von Kurler. Let me explain. He does not speak English, but he does speak Russian, and he does speak Spanish, and of course he speaks German. Octoon?
Yeah, but I'm holding my head.
We also have with us a gentleman from Spain, Señor Bonasquiu.
Yeah, but I don't think it's any, but I'm not even Buenos Dias, Señor.
Buenos Dias, Señor. You speak English.
As that is correct. I speak the English.
Yes. And Spanish
and German. And
German,
yes.
That's right. But you don't speak Russian.
I do not speak the Russian. Well, I ask the questions to me. Then I ask
we'll
the questions
second,
to the hair curler over there, and he will in turn ask the questions to the señorita over there, and then you will get the answers. It takes a little longer, but this is the way that they work.
Okay. Sorry. All right. First of all, Señor Bonasquiu, would
si.
You please tell her hello? we're glad to have her with us.
You want me to tell her hello? You're glad to have her with
yes.
you.
Yes.
Buenos dias, señores, y bienvenidos a la donde cine. But holding the heart of the sign, all the blood holding the heart of the hand.
Yes, Brunia, the Kishne brought a demonia, see the Bosnia, Brunia, Bosnia, the Brunia, the Rati Demos.
Hold with the head and see the Harden, hold with the Harden, I say it my Harden, see her. He said that, she said, and then he said that she's glad to be here, but she has a little sinus condition. Would you make it a quick interview, please?
Very good. Senor, would you ask her how long she has been in this country? And how does she like it? Let's get her both in.
I want to do it the all right, see, just a moment. Hold the Sahaden, hold the Holm Holm, that I had in the country, but I had in the hold like it here.
What is the question, Ever?
What did you say?
She did not understand the question.
Oh, well, I think our time.
As long as you got me here, if you want to ask her one more question, I mean, I think.
Our time is running out.
That was my patience.
Let's ask her. We understood that this film has a message to the world, speaking something from the soul and the conscience of her great people, the people that she represents. Would you ask her, what is the story? What is the basic philosophical, psychological plot of the picture?
Boom, 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 boom.
But hold the machine, hold the machine. Boom, boom, boom. Boom. It's a Western.
I don't believe it.
This is Guy Mitchell and one of the roving kind here on the Joy Boys Show.
Everybody running for?
That's your cue.
Read the Washington Post every day. Read the Washington Post every day.
What's everybody running for?
It's the newspaper boy. Thank you, boy.
They are.
Thank you very much. All right, are we ready?
And now, Pickwick, the greatest name in picks for guitars, banjos, mandolins, and ukuleles, brings you author Codfish Time. And here he is, author. He may be picky, but he's a fine entertainer, Codfish.
Good morning, girls. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Codfish.
Good morning, boys. Kelly Ned, it's nice to have you all among us this morning. Audience, how are you? Nice folks in the studio. I was planning to render, meaning to tear apart. Getting me back to old Virginia on the ukulele this morning.
Why aren't you, Arthur?
Because they can't find the little stringy son of
a... Arthur, I cannot tell a lie. Since we received the new sponsor, Pickwick Picks, I have been taking ukulele lessons, and unfortunately I borrowed your ukulele to surprise you this morning, and I have it here.
Well, that's wonderful, Tony. You mean you've been taking lessons on the uka-uka?
Yes, Arthur. I can never hope to surpass your genius on the instrument, but I thought I would try. The boys in the band have rehearsed a number with me, and we're going to play a chorus of Yaka Hula Hiki Dula, if you don't mind.
I think that's wonderful. And if the folks in the studio can give Tony a little hand, let's go. Here he is. My own pal, Tony Meatball, playing Yaka Hula Hiki Dula. Went back to 1917. Go ahead, Tony, right, boy. Right. That's pretty. I like that song. You do pretty good for a Wahini, boo-boo.
Thank you, Arthur.
Excuse me, I just saw the engineer. We're getting a little late in time. You better speed it up a little bit.
Certainly. On the next chorus, gentlemen, we'll pick up the tempo.
Ah, tempo.
Here we go. Faster. Watch this, Arthur. Move faster.
We're going off 2 minutes early. Hurry up. We need to speed it up. Speed it up.
We're playing it about as fast as one more chorus, boys. Faster.
Hurry up, Phyllis. Hurry up. Hurry up.
Big finish here, Arthur.
Hurry up. We're late. This is what's left of the NBC Radio Network.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
And that just about does it for the Joy Boys for tonight. This is Ed Walker here.
Leonard Scott thanking our batteries engineers, Bobby Shedden. Roger Page.
Yeah.
And the Mystery Man. Here's Charlie Stafford, who says,
this program is written, produced, and directed in the nation's capital.
Ah! Written, produced, and directed?
I just read it the way they write it, and it's also heard overseas.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We take a lesson to and fro.
Thrilling music comes your way tonight on NBC Radio. See what I mean?
Time, the weekly news magazine, in its new issue, out today, devotes its cover story to the nation's next First Lady, Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy. Contrary to the belief of many Americans, the Bouvier family, Time notes, goes back to the American Revolution. But despite the impeccable Bouvier ancestry, to which was added wealth and beauty, young Jacqueline, by her own admission, was a dissatisfied debutante. I did not, she explains, want to marry any of the young men I grew up with, not because of them, but because of their life. And Time this week traces the very different life which Jacqueline Kennedy has made for herself, the apolitical girl who now finds politics tremendously exciting. Time's cover story in its new issue out today is a perceptive look at Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy, at her early role as the country's number one glamour girl, at her recent life as Mrs. John F. Kennedy, and at her probable influence as the nation's first lady.
WRC, WRC-FM, NBC in Washington.
A radio exclusive. Many nights on television you've heard the famous Huntley Brinkley Report. Tonight our special candid microphone is outside the NBC building as we will actually hear David Brinkley and Chet Huntley saying goodnight to one another. David Brinkley speaks first as he gets in his car and says,
good night, Chet.
Good night, David. I've just got to get myself a new car.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys, yo. We chase electrons to and fro. We
again for the Joy Boys program for Tuesday evening. This is Ed Walker here.
Leonard Scott here, and a great big beautiful day it's been in the nation's capital. The sun was shining, the temperature's up in the 50s, and everybody here feels like spring.
It's been lousy up here in Alaska, where we hear you on Armed Forces Radio.
One of our far-flung listeners who wasn't flung quite far enough, all the engineers are chirping like birds. And our engineering staff is for the birds today on our program. We're doing all you got.
Little Bobby, so is the talent.
Arthur Page is the one who's growling.
Bah.
Little Bobby Shetton is back up there in his perch. And scratching his gravel with Lindsay Doyle is our good friend, the mystery man. So, today's program looks very exciting. We're going to interview a professional pickpocket. We also will have Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park and his band of merry men. And Randolph W. Goon. We'll recite a poem.
Sounds delightful. We have an award, too, I might add.
That sounds pretty good to these deaf ears.
The deaf ears? The clothing manufacturers of America have just voted the Joy Boys the two biggest duds in radio.
Here, here. Your cue.
That's called Unforgettable, done for you by Billy May in the orchestra.
He does such nice work.
I think
work.
He did.
I think he did there, too. Yes. It's a very, very exciting tune. It's the type of music that I think we feature on our show that makes our show the show it is.
Huh?
It's kind of a shame to blame it on the music, actually.
It certainly is. Why don't you guys take the brunt of responsibility yourself?
I agree, too. It's a terrible show, and it ain't the music.
We have a wonderful audience with us this evening, as you can no doubt
hear. They're not with us, obviously. Charlie Crooper's over there, the old drummer from Nashville.
And,
right now, I think we're ready for our dramatic piece de resistance.
Call all the kids in the house, too, to come by the radio. It's time for the adventures of Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park.
Here we go. And now, the National Broadcasting Company brings you the adventures of Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park.
Oh! 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 It's coat of mine.
Robin Hood, Robin Hood, riding through the glen. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, with his band of men. Feared by the bad, loved by the good. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood.
The Pierce Deer Transistor 6, the greatest name in imported Japanese radios, presents the adventures of Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park. Today's exciting episode is entitled Robin Hood and the Housing Problem. As our story opens, we find ourselves out. As we find ourselves out in the forest, as Robin Hood speaks to his men and says,
"Well, men, I know that you're aware of the fact that we have a serious housing problem in our town this week,
right?
Men, it has been imminent that we must sacrifice..." Men, would you please listen? New writer this week, men. So what we want to do is this. We have rented out our quarters in the forest for $100 a night to a bunch of people into the big parade on Friday.
That's plenty good, Kimosabe.
I don't believe you belong in this script, Pronto, if you'd kindly go to the other studio.
Isn't this Studio 6B?
No, this is 6A.
Oh.
You can leave.
Me. Well, Ranger.
Now then, Friar Tuck. All of you men, gather round. As you can tell, as I told you, we've rented out our lodgings for $100 a night, so that we need the money. Now, the problem is this, men.
You mean you rented out our whole little house, Robin? Where are we going to sleep?
That's what I'm trying to settle for you, little John.
Wait a minute. Tonight, Robin.
Tonight, Robin. Tonight, little John, we're going to sleep in a brand new building. I have cleared this with the park officials. And we will have a wonderful place with heating so that we will not freeze to death.
Now, all right, Robin. All right. Have you ever been to the topic?
You men should know that I would not let you down. Now then, if you'll follow me to our new lodging place right down this way. Come on, men.
So Robin Hood and his band of merry men rode off into the thicket as we find ourselves now in a large concrete house, Robin said.
Right here, if you'll just open this door, we'll walk right inside. This is our new home for the night.
This is the monkey house at the National Zoological Park.
Don't knock it. Just keep feeding them peanuts and bananas, and we're all set for the evening.
This has been a Hood Roy production.
English translation in 25 minutes.
Stay tuned now for more music of the Joy Boys Show, coming to you in living black and white from Studio 3.
I hope the music is better.
Just
than
shut up and
listen.
wonderful little girl from London, England there named Eve Boswell, and his song is called It's Been a Long, Long Time. All right, eh?
I think we've got you booked on a 305.
Really? I better run and get out of here.
Yeah.
What's everybody running for?
Read, I'm out of breath there from all that running. Read the Washington Post every day. Thank you. And now then, I see that it's time for, are you ready at the organ, Rita?
Yes.
Rita Rosa at the console as we hear the theme music for Little Grandpa.
Once again, as we come to the end of a busy day, and I'm happy to report now that the days will be getting longer, so this program should be going on later, it's time to pause and reflect as we hear poems from the pen of Randolph W. Goon on the Goon River Anthology. The door is unlocked. Mr. Goon, come in.
Hey, I got some Coca-Cola for you, gang.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Goon. That was very thoughtful. Randy has just brought us some wonderful bottles of soft drink here this evening. That was very. Are you buying, Mr. Goon?
Yes, sir.
But you just hadn't been looking. It's very precarious the way you're holding those bottles. Mr. Goon is now going to recite his poems for this evening. What is your first poem? Is an ode to an olive pitter.
Yes, good evening. Yes, that's right. A man of the hour, a man of the year, is the man I salute tonight. Nerves of steel, a wit that's quick, a man who can never be tight. That's the man, the genius, the brain that I salute tonight. He does his job like no man can, and he ain't no pipe fitter. The man that I wish to salute tonight is the old-fashioned olive pitter.
They don't use olives in old fashions, Mr.
Oh, I it was a colloquial expression.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You must be living in California, that town, Sac Pimento, there. And now, Mr. Goon's second poem for
the reading.
The reading.
Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him, Horatio, a fellow of infinite jest, of most excellent fancy. He has borne me on his back 1,000 times, and now how abhorred by my imagination it is. My gorge rises at it.
You're supposed to use your
here hung those lips that I never kissed. I know not how oft. Where be your jibes now, your gambols, your songs, your flashes of merriment that were wont to set the table to roar?
Mr. Gould.
Not one now to mock your own grinning. Quiet, chapfallen.
Will you answer me a question?
Now get you to my lady's chamber and tell her.
Why?
Let her paint an inch thick to this favor she must come.
Why don't you read your own material?
Well, I was using this bit of Shakespearean.
I don't think he would appreciate
it.
Nor his estate. Or any of the
it's
other.
Public people. Domain. It's older than 50 years.
And now here's Mr. Goon with his thoughts for today.
Everything's coming up roses.
Thank you. And join us next week for another Goon River.
What do you think
was
in that
good night.
Paper bag, I promise?
The Kirby Stone Four and a thing called Buck Dance here on the Joy Boy Show. And this is the Joy Boy Show, in case you're wondering about it.
I was wondering about the show. I knew which show it was, but I think there are a lot of people that are wondering about the whole thing.
I'm wondering how it got on.
You won't have to wonder how it got off. Don't worry about that. We have with us in the studio a gentleman. Would you bring that chair and all the other gear
Thank
over here, please?
Much.
Mr. Lawrence Lifter.
Easy with my equipment.
Mr. Lifter, and you are by profession a professional
pickpocket.
I see, and of course, I notice you have quite a bit of gear with you. Maybe you'd like to tell our listeners what you are doing in this city and why you're here in the studio.
I certainly, before I begin, here's your wallet.
Very nifty trick.
I thought you might like to have it.
I didn't even know you...
Here's your watch, Mr. Walker.
Thank you. I was beginning to wonder. I thought I left it home.
It's marvelous.
No, well, I'm a... I was an apprentice for years, and now I'm a full-fledged pickpocket.
Well, you do very interesting work out. How long have you been picking pockets?
Oh, I'd say about 5 years.
Very, very good.
Now then, you asked about all of the gear that I have assembled here in the studio.
That's right.
Well, you see, the old days of just haphazard pocket picking is a thing of the past.
Why is that?
It is passé, as they say.
Mr. Lester, would you?
Well, because of the new scientific developments in radar, sonar, television, radio, we now have new and modern implements of our profession.
Well, would you like to show us what
you mean? In other words, why take the chance on rolling, picking a fellow's pocket and just getting a few small coins?
Oh, I see. In other words, you being more selective.
That's right. We have detecting devices now that can detect whether a guy is carrying, let us say, a valuable watch. Now, for instance, if we have a cheap watch, the machine just sort of sneers at it. You see.
Well, why don't I stand over here? How far do I have to be from the machine before?
Within 10 feet.
I'll stand over here 10 feet from the machine, and you turn the machine on, why don't you?
All right. Yes, it's registering. It says that in your pocket you have a wallet with a $20 bill in it.
Marvel.
A 17-jewel watch. A silver... Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
You found my good luck charm.
Oh, yes, solid gold. The machine is tilting here. Now, then, you would be a very likely suspect, you see.
Well, let me get away from the machine here. Okay. Well, that's quite interesting. And how do you work this? Just you and a cohort, confederate, might I?
Well, yes, I have somebody to drive the station wagon that houses the equipment. And actually, I can't carry it on my back. Make me rather obvious, don't you think?
Right. You have your own mobile unit for...
I have my own mobile unit, and we cruise around, and we map out itineraries as to the places we want to hit. Now, for instance, of course, this week in Washington is sort of a unique week.
Quite a big crowd. Huh?
This only happens once every 4 years. An opportunity that the self-respecting pickpocket cannot afford to turn down. And that is, of course, the big parade that will be here on Friday next. People, thousands of them, literally walking down the main streets of our town. And it's going to be a very ticklish job to find the people with the right...
What are you trying to tell us, Mr. Gill?
What I'm trying to tell you is that I have cased the whole city, and I have drawn maps, which I will show you.
Let me see the map.
I have the map. I have the... moment, I had it here.
He's looking for the map right now. Apparently, he's drawn a map of the city. Crucial.
Honey, I like that.
Points where you can...
You got a phone here.
What's the matter?
I want to call a cop. Some sneaky pickpocket took my map. I spent weeks working...
Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
I do believe that it's time for us to say goodbye, and this is Ed Walker here.
Winter Scott, on a personal note, will the Limburger cheese salesman who did the personal appearance on the Patty Cavan Show please come by and pick up his samples? They're getting ready to do a newscast in the studio, and it's a little aromatic.
Just a little, yeah.
Now, here's Charlie Staffer, who says...
This program has been written, directed, produced, rehearsed, in the nation's capital.
It's
hard for me to do that with a straight face, I want you to know that, but I just read it the way it's written.
Thank our engineers, Charlie, that we do appreciate.
Thank our engineers, Charlie, that we do appreciate.
Thank them personally.
Oh, Bobby Shenton. Arthur Page.
Yeah.
And the mystery man.
The fellow with the sack on his head over there.
I guess that'll do it till tomorrow night then, huh? That might do it, who knows.
We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Tonight it's Wild Bill Hickok as he rides out of the West over at NBC Television.
That's Hickok.
With Hickok. We take you now to a large suburban hospital where two Skywriter pilots are in their respective sick beds as we hear...
Oh, boy. I didn't think I was going to make it. Whatever that is in the next bed over there. Hey, Harry?
Oh.
Another pilot. Harry?
Oh, hello, George.
Harry, how are you?
Oh, not too good.
Yeah, me neither.
Hey, boy, you're all beat up. Your legs are in splits and your head's all bandaged up and your arm's in a sling.
Yeah, I know.
What happened to you?
It was the strangest thing, Harry. I was flying around there, writing in the sky for Conicetti's Pizzeria. And I was just dotting the I in Conicetti for the 1800th time that day. And
what happened?
The pencil that I was writing with fell out of my hand.
And what'd you do?
Well, I leaned out the window to catch it as it was floating by, and I guess I fell out of the plane.
How's the airplane?
Huh? It's completely demolished.
Oh.
What happened to you?
Huh? Oh. I got a new account.
Yeah?
A couple of those crazy guys on radio, the Joy Boys.
Yeah?
I was riding over the city of Washington. Everybody loves the Joy Boys.
What happened?
Air Force plane shot me down.
What for?
I guess they don't like the show.
Figures.
The Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Time for the Joy Boys program for Wednesday night. This is Ed Walker here.
Well, it's Scott over here, and we have a new engineer among us tonight. We're very fortunate. Normally, this man works with only the top talent. He is Mac McGarry's personal chargé d'affaires. He's not even called an engineer. He's a chargé d'affaires on the Mac McGarry Show, and his name is Mr. Rip Van Winkle.
If things ever get tough in the engineering field, I'm going to go on the air.
Didn't you used to do the Lone Ranger out of
Detroit?
There
was a time, yes. Uh-huh.
You have quite a nice pair of chords there, Rip.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful tone and nice
appreciation. Appreciate that very much.
Bobby Shetton, the little fellow over there behind the... as you can tell, he sounds... quite jaded next to Mr. Van Winkle's tone.
Certainly does.
And Arthur Page, the perennial grouch.
Yeah.
Griping his way through another payday.
I am unfamiliar with this program. Would you tell us what's happening today?
Well,
please.
No, Rip.
So what's coming up on the program this evening here?
Well, we have the Unmentionables, an interview with Elliot Metz, and his group will be performing for us. Also, Great Moments in History, and Miss Janitor will come out to give some...
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan Apple is here again.
A great way to start the show. Clear your throat and walk in the studio.
Certainly, of course.
Nothing like informality.
Nothing like informality. Nothing to beat cordiality.
There you are.
It's our WRC Poet Laureate, Mr. Jonathan Apple, and I presume you have a poem for this evening.
Everyone throughout the nation, and I can say this without reservation or any doubt of hesitation, everyone is singing in syncopation about tomorrow's inauguration.
Here, how about that?
It will be a great sensation all across the whole of the nation, so don't forget the inauguration.
Take him out of here,
tomorrow
will you?
Tomorrow night, in syncopation. Over there, sir.
One correction, the inauguration is Friday night. That's all outside of that. Would you play something in there?
There they are, wailing like mad. The Jonah Jones Quartet, music from the new Meredith Wilson Show. The unsinkable Molly Brown on the unsinkable Joy Boys program over this unsinkable station, WRC. All right, let's see. It's time for our first feature, isn't it? Once again, the Joy Boys presents The Unmentionables, another Dizzy Boo production. And now, with tonight's story, here is your narrator, Mr. Walter Walter.
It was unusually warm for April 23rd, 1929. In Chicago's Lower East Side, Elliot Metz and seven of his best crack federal agents were standing outside of the downtown branch of the Chicago East Sheboygan Bank. Elliot Metz had gotten the word that Frank Nutty, Capone's right-hand man, was somewhere outside the bank planning one of the biggest robberies of Chicago's gangland history. They had cashed Nutty's house. They'd been standing outside the Nutty house for 2 days, watching Nutty and every move he made. As our story opens, Elliot Metz speaks.
All right, boys, we've done all we can to try to apprehend this man.
I think the best thing for us to do is move in slowly. Joe?
Yes, so Elliot, I don't think Nutty's outside the bank. I think he's in there, and chances are right now he's sticking up the bank. I think we better get in there and stop him.
You and Charlie cover the back of the bank.
Right, Elliot.
Mo, you and I'll go in the front door.
Okay, Elliot.
Now, this could be tricky. Check your gun.
Right.
All right. Stand by now.
You are going to go in first, Elliot?
I'll walk in the door first. You see my phone.
Very casually. Okay.
All right, you guys, this is stick up. I don't want to have to shoot nobody. Just give the money.
Charlie, there he is over there now, sticking up the bank.
All right, you cashier, hand me in the small bills in the cash drawer right there.
All right, Nutty.
Huh?
Put your hands up behind your head.
Well, well, if it isn't my old friend, Mr. Elliot Mess, eh? You think you're going to come in here and deposit some money?
Nutty.
Eh?
We've got your hands down.
Told me hands down? You just told me to put my hands up. What are you talking about?
I think this is curtains for you.
Is that right?
We've got the goods on you and you're under arrest.
Well, tell me this, Mr. Mess, smart man. What's the charge?
We're charging you on a 705, which is the APRI.
Look, Mr. Mess,
yep.
You guys ain't got nothing. Ain't. Nothing on me. You can't arrest me without evidence.
We're taking you in. We're taking you into the police. We're taking you downtown?
Hey, just a minute. Last page of your script is blurred as mine is.
I can't read the last page.
I can't even figure out whether I get the chair. What happens?
I'm not sure that we're taking you to the police station or the federal office in the post office building.
You know what I think?
Hey, Joe, have you got the last page of the script?
My copy is very blurred, too. I think...
You know whether we're taking him to the post office or the police station?
I think we're sending him out to Washington.
Did he get on the train in the... I can't quite understand this whole thing. Something's wrong.
So, on that evening in April, it was never quite fully understood what was to be done with Frank Nutty. Apparently, the ink had run out of the mimeograph machine, and the last page of all the actors' scripts were so blurred, nobody could figure out whether Nutty was to go to the police station or the post office. And that's tonight's Unmentionables for this evening. Join us again next week when Walter and the Unmentionables will again present the story of the long train and how it met its fearful end. Good night.
As Bing Crosby with the Bob Scobie Frisco Jazz Band along the way to Waikiki, for anybody who likes that sort of thing there. Bing with a beat, they call it. All right, let's head for the hills, man.
What's everybody running for?
Well, that wears you out running around like that, I'll tell you. You read the Washington Post every day and find out, would you?
And now, great moments in history.
The facts and true stories behind momentous events that have helped to shape the present-day world. Great moments in history. Today's great moments in history. The firing on Fort Sumter and the real story behind it. The year... 1861, April. Outside of Charleston Harbor, somewhere along the South Carolina coast, a young sergeant, a gunner's mate in the United States Confederate Navy, is with his captain. His name was Ralston, but because he was so good in cannon work and munitions, they'd called him Hotshot. As our story opens, the captain says,
Hotshot Ralston?
Yes, sir.
Get off your rilla raw and put that bowl of suet down. Come over here.
Ah, sir, Captain. I'm just eating a bowl of suet. That's all, sir. Yes, sir. What can I do for you, Captain?
We've got to leave those guns in position because it's not too soon now. We don't know when we might, and we should have to.
I don't believe you're coming through on all channels there, Captain. What you want me to do is set up these cannons and make sure they're all set just in case there's an attack.
Keep them clear in case the Union Army decides to attack us. We've got to protect Charleston at all costs.
Yes, sir. And I don't think anything's going to happen for the next couple of hours. I'm just working on a new invention of mine. You don't mind if I just work a little bit, do you, Captain? Captain?
Well, be as careful as you possibly can because there's enemy out there tonight. And don't you forget it, Sergeant.
All right. Fine, Captain. Now, let me get back to my invention here. Let's see. I just take these oats, and I ram them down the barrel of this cannon like this. And then I just put a little powder charge in the cannon, and then I just shoot the oats right out of the cannon like this.
Good heavens.
I did it, Captain. Yes, sir. My invention was a success.
Sergeant, what on earth have you been doing here?
Well, sir, I was just inventing a new kind of a breakfast cereal, Captain. It's cereal shot from guns. You put oats in the cannon, and you put a charge in there, and you fire the cannon, and you got puffed oats.
Yes, but do you see what you've done, you wild, young, crazy man?
What did I do?
There was water in that muzzle. All those oats have turned hard. You've blown the whole wall out of Fort Sumter over there. You've showered all the Union Army with sugar smacks. You crazy man, you started the Civil War.
For heaven's sake. Well, good thing it wasn't oatmeal. That'd have really been lumpy, wouldn't it?
And that's today's great moments in history. The facts and true stories behind the firing on Fort Sumter. And how the first cereal ever shot from guns blew up Fort Sumter.
Going to be able to hold that note all that time there. That's the music of Buddy Cole, and I'll be seeing you. Joy Boys program, Scott and Walker, for this Wednesday evening.
Breath of Swine. The only aerosol bomb that makes all other meats taste and smell like pork presents Miss Janitor. And the Washington area temperatures. The January skies are clear and cloudy, and here's the girl who says...
Howdy.
Stepping out of her glass booth here at Radio Central.
Oh, dear.
If you didn't turn it over that time, you just kicked it.
Yes, well, I...
Fell off the mic cable, did you?
I'm improving with age.
Trip the trash can there. Let me...
Thank you very much.
Help you out here, dear.
Yeah, thank you.
Now... Here's Miss Janitor with the Washington area temperatures and a report on weather conditions.
Pennsylvania Avenue and 15th Street. Pennsylvania and Constitution. The White House. The Capitol Building.
We appreciate all these various points of interest in our nation's capital, but...
15 black coffees. 10 with cream.
Slipper.
5 with sugar and no cream.
Blow
14 egg salad sandwiches on whole wheat. 10 ham on rye. 2 salami sprinkled with breath of swine.
Morris.
Yes?
Would you like to tell us, sort of, enlighten us?
Certainly.
What all these addresses and all these orders of food and coffee?
I have been selected to be the coffee girl at the inauguration to see that the engineers have sandwiches and coffee on the... various points of the parade route, as they...
For all the networks? Are you a pool secretary?
Yes, I'm looking for all the networks.
And you're bringing all the food into the guy?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Telephone men, too?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's
isn't
all
that
right.
Nice?
Thank you very
at least
much.
At least I made the inauguration. That's more than...
Yeah, well, don't rub it in. We understand.
Mm-hmm.
Join us again next time when once again we'll present Washington's own weather girl, Miss Janitor, with the temperatures. Good night, Miss Janitor.
That breath of swine is really very good.
Here's an aerosol bomb. They can send you a sample can.
We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
From the Crawdad capital of the world, it's been another exciting presentation of the Joy Boys radio program with yours truly, Willard Scott and...
Ed Walker, that's me. Thanking our engineers, Bobby Shenton. Roy Van Winkle.
That's me, yes, of course.
Arthur Page.
Yeah, so what?
Charlie Stafford says.
I don't even sound bassy anymore.
The Joy Boys of Radio. We take electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We take electrons to and fro.
Morgan Beatty is on a 900 calorie a day diet, as you'll notice next over NBC.
You look like a sub-deb today. You've dropped at least 15 years since I saw you last.